conclude, the Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025 at 7 p.m. for a study of the parables of Jesus. This week, we are looking at the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13, verses 1 to 9. There are handout sheets on the podium for this week's study. Also, yesterday, the Western Association of the Baptist Churches held the Pastor Education Day here as Ambassador Baptist Church. It was a good day of learning and fellowship for the pastors that attended from our association. On Palm Sunday, April 13, 2025, Wendell Phipps and the SDA Community Choir will be performing the cantata Through the Torn Curtain during our morning worship service. We will be having a Good Friday service on April 18, 2025 at 10:30 a.m., and please plan to attend this special service as well as our Easter Sunday service on April 20th, 2025. And last but not least, on Sunday, May 18, 2025, the induction service for Pastor James will be happening here at our church at 3 p.m. So please plan to attend the special service in the afternoon. And then I will call on Dawn Michelle for the prayer today.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Loving and gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather today. I ask now that each person here or listening to the service will still their heart and their mind. We come sometimes with baggage, Lord, that we carry with us into our church services, and we get distracted. And Lord, I ask that you just calm our mind and our hearts, put our troubles aside, for you say that you take care of all our needs and we need not need to worry about anything. Father, I pray for our community. I pray for those who are around this community that use our food bank, Lord, that come to the church for needs that, and I pray that we'll be able to meet those needs as your children. Father, I pray for just the uncertainty in this world right now. It causes us such anxiety and stress and worry. And you ask us to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And I ask that we can just do that, Father, trusting that you are in control. This is your world. You created each person. We are all important to you, Lord. So I ask that you just help us to be calm and know that you have this, that you are watching and caring for each of us. Lord, I pray for Pastor James, Father, that you have brought him to this church, Father, to serve you, to serve the community, to help us grow in our relationship with you, Father. I just thank you for his anointing as a pastor and for his words that he speaks that touch our hearts, Lord, and that each Sunday when he speaks, even if there's one thing that we can take with us, Lord, to meditate upon throughout the week, then it is good. Father, I pray for those in our church that are not with us today, whether they are ill or they are serving in other capacities at other churches, Lord. Be with them. Let them know that we're thinking of them today, as well as all of our other Baptist churches who are gathering together. We thank you for this time of celebration and fellowship with one another. We ask you to be with us during this service. Still our hearts. Open our ears and our eyes, and let us be as you call us to be, ambassadors for you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Today is from Galatians 6, verses 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Everyone, good morning. Good morning. So we're grateful today that we had our brethren, Tom. Now I'm going to forget the other names. So, Tom and the group. Amen. Great singing, and we're grateful for that. And I thank God for Annie Jane as well as Don Michel for helping us out today. See, we had to have three set of people do what Don, what she would have done. So today we are missing her because she and Janet had to join them at Manuel for the bells. I hope I'll watch the video and. Wally and Susan. So now the team leader has helped me out. Amen. So I will try and watch the video of the bells because I don't even know what it means. So don't mind me. But then it's so serious and good enough for us to have Janet and Don be a part of it. So that tells us it's something great for me. I know the rest of you know what it means. So we're glad that they are being a blessing to our family over there. You know, a lot of times we are privileged to share ministry together with brethren from Banwell Community Church, and that has been a great thing. And we're looking forward to be able to have our outreach program together very soon in May. We'll be able to let us know the exact date because we've been juggling with the date after we made the announcement and we discovered some couple of things. So we will work it out. It's definitely going to be May. So how early or how late, don't worry. We're just going to be within May by God's grace. So, okay, so this morning we had showers of blessing. Amen. Light rains, light thunderstorm, nothing scary. I'm sure no one, many people did probably not notice the thunderstorm. That told me, or tells me that you slept quite well. Amen. It's glory to Jesus. So, one of the things that draws our attention to as we go into our subject this morning is that God speaking through Jesus, he said, your heavenly Father makes sure his reign and his son comes on everyone. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's my own paraphrase there. And because of that, Jesus would challenge his disciples, which is the challenge that is coming to us today, that we are good to everyone. So this morning, I'll be sharing with us navigating life. Doing good is not an option. It's our Christian lifestyle. Navigating life, that's the series we've been looking at from the beginning of March, the first Sunday of March, second Sunday. But then we are now focusing on doing good is not an option. It's our Christian lifestyle. Paul, writing to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, the whole of the chapter, or the whole of Galatians, Paul was trying to address people not to be lost in tradition and not to place their lives on the works of the flesh or just the doings. He believed, just like James, in his writing to the church in Galatians, he expressed that doing good does not lead us into salvation. But if truly we have been saved, then doing good should be our lifestyle. It's a part of our nature because God is good. And the Bible tells us all that God does is good. And so it will be inappropriate for anyone who says, I'm a child of God or I'm a Christian, not to do good. Do you agree with me? So if that's our lifestyle, if our nature is something expected of us, is a command that we should do good, it's not a suggestion only, but a command. And it's supposed to be what is in our DNA as children of God, so we are supposed to live it out. It's a potential within us, but it never comes to life until we are deliberate and we consciously take steps in being good to people. So, in our world today, sometimes being good doesn't sound fashionable, especially if you don't like someone. Amen. Especially if that person has offended you before. Amen. Especially if the person has not been good to you. You tell yourself, I have a legal ground why I should not do anything good towards that person. Amen. Is that not justified? But you see, because we are children of God, we don't get to select when to be good. That's a tall command. In fact, Jesus would make that command so strong when he said, love your enemies. Pray for those who hate you. Be compassionate towards those who despitefully use you. That doesn't make sense. What's the easiest way? If somebody doesn't like my face, I don't like their guts. That sounds fair. But then Jesus, our Lord and Savior, says no. Let me add to that example again. Jesus went out with his disciples. They had gotten to a place. And my brother James, my namesake, amen, was there with his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. They were the ones that their mom came to do lobby for with Jesus. You remember them? And said, oh, now I need to ask something, you know, as a contributor to your ministry. I've been supporting your ministry. My sons, they are with you. I'm thinking we can work something out. Can you consider one on your right, one on your left, give them a good position? You know, all these other people, their parents are not supporting you, but I've been, you know, so consider my boys. And Jesus said, what you are asking for, you don't know what you're asking for. Yeah. Because you're asking for a place in my death and crucifixion. Is that what you want for your boys? Well, nobody knew the answer because she didn't say anything henceforth, so we keep it that way. But they went somewhere and they had gone to preach. It's like going for evangelism and mission, and you're excited before you were going, and you're trusting God. I'm going to preach today. People are going to receive this gospel. People are going to change. They're going to be excited. They're going to be healed. And then you go to the program, and you meet terrible people. Saucy, hard. And they were the very opposite of everything you prayed for. And the Bible said, when they were stepping out of the place, Master, can we send thunder to them? Can we ask that God puts his lightning upon their lives? Can we ask that God destroys all of them? These are bad people. We went with good news and they rejected the good news. So let's give them bad news. And Jesus looks at them and he calls them, in one of the records, he calls them by a nickname. Sons of thunder. He said, you do not know what manner of spirits you are. You want to curse them and want God to punish them and release his thunder upon them because they didn't take your message? You know what he was addressing? They were struggling with being rejected. Their ego and their pride was speaking. What was the reminder? Jesus was simply, when he said to them, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. In essence, this is not the nature of God. What is the nature of God? Doing good. Always. In spite of the people, but because of who we are. His ambassador, his children, and the one who carries his love. And so in the lights of that, Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. Paul looks at the church in Galatians and he says to them, let us not become weary in doing good. When he says, let us not, I'm going to be a big teacher today. Do not permit, do not allow yourself to be weary. Doing good can be wearisome. Doing good can be stressful at times. Doing good can be demanding. So it's very easy to have an excuse out why not to do good. It's intensive. It comes from your heart. It's not something you can just do like as if you put it on and then you put it off. It has to be a part of who you are. So Paul the Apostle says to them, permit yourself, allow yourself to do good, meaning that it is in your power. You can say, oh, the person offended me. Oh, they did this, therefore I will not. Because we have been commanded to do so. Let us not become weary. The word weary means that we do not become extremely tired, physically or mentally. It means that we cannot lose our patience nor enthusiasm when it comes to the subject of giving and doing good. Doing good many a times, because it's stressful, we can have physical weariness. Physical weariness refers to the feeling of being drained. Drained in our physical strength, often due to exhaustion or lack of rest. Sometimes in doing good, it takes from us. Because some of the actions have to be physical. In fact, most of it has to. If you are doing good and it's just in your mind, you have not done it. Amen. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm doing good. I don't have a bad mind towards anyone. My mind is clean. My heart is okay. In my mind, I'm okay with everyone. So with your act, are you okay with everyone? You see, we need to discuss about that one. It's okay to be good in your mind, but the evidence of being good is in our acts. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, let your light so shine before men so that they can see what? Your good works. So people need to be able to do what? See. They can't see your heart. They can't see my mind, but they can see our hearts. And so Jesus said, let your light so shine. So how do we shine the light of Jesus? While we were growing up in the children's Sunday school, this little light of mine, and I'm gonna let it shine. And this little light of mine, and I'm gonna let it shine. Am I the only one that knows that song? Okay, so support me. This little light of mine, and I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Okay, thank you for joining my choir. How do we let our light shine? Jesus said, when people see our good works. Someone said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You and I are the living scriptures. Paul said we are the living epistles that God has written in Christ so that people can see him. So every day we put ourselves up for good works, not as a means to our salvation, but an evidence of who we are and the salvation that Jesus has given to us. It prompts us to want to do good towards others. Because by so doing, they see our light. and we shine Jesus to our world. So it means that every time that I refuse to do good, what am I doing? I refuse to shine the light of Jesus to my world. And so Paul the Apostle was drawing the attention of these believers in Christ. When he says letters, he's talking about Christians. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. Paul was addressing these people to understand that their good works matter. Even though their good works does not bring salvation, but their good works are evidence of the living Christ within them, of the love of Christ which they have received, and of whom they are supposed to be his ambassador. We are Christ ambassadors. We are Christ representatives. Our world must and should always see from our individual lives as well as our collective life the goodness of God. If our world are going to read the scripture, we must be the living epistle of God to them. We must be his writing in our actions, in our words, in our compassion, in our passion. As we execute our duty, as we carry ourselves in the business place, as we discuss and carry ourselves in our living within our neighborhood. Doing good is not an option. It is expected from God to be our lifestyle. While I was growing up in Africa, one of the songs that I learned in what we call the Scripture Union, or some would say the Christian Union, whichever, whether it's Scripture Union or Christian Union, both are synonymous. But then they were talking about doing good. It said, anywhere he went, he was doing good. Almighty healer, he healed the lepers. When the creepers saw him, they started walking. Anywhere he went, my Jesus was doing good. Then the second part says, anywhere I go, I'll be doing good. My Lord has taught me, he lives within me. When the people see me, they will glorify him. Anywhere I go, by grace I'm doing good. And that's the one that speaks to me strongly. Anywhere I go, I'll be doing good. My Lord has taught me, he lives within me. When the people see me, they will glorify him. Anywhere I go, by grace I'm doing good. So Paul the Apostle was challenging people who said and have professed Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, do not get tired of doing good. And that's the same thing God is saying to you and I today. In a world that is saucy, in a world that is rude, in a world that is very impersonal, don't get tired of doing good. Where people are so self-centered, so selfish, where people are greedy, where people will take advantage of other people and they don't care, you and I do not have that option. We must keep doing good. Can you help me preach this morning? Can you look at your neighbor? with a smile. Smile, very important. Smile to your neighbor. Tell the person, keep doing good. The way you are saying it is as if we are going to charge you for saying it. It doesn't come at a fee. Just help me with a smile. Smile, very important. Tell them, keep doing good. Tell the person by your side, keep doing good. Some people are not going to help me preach this morning. Hey. There is emotional weariness. There is mental weariness. But those are not good enough excuse not to do good. So when the Bible says for us to do good, what was Paul saying? When Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, why? Because our actions reflect who we are. It's a testimony to our faith in Jesus. And it's also a reflection of who we are. People don't get to know you by being mute or just by keeping to yourself. So, I like my style. James, you don't understand. I keep to myself. I don't hurt anyone. Don't think bad towards anyone. I'm just here by me. You have done well, but you have not done like Christ. Good, but you need to do better. I need to do better. We need to do better. Our world needs to see Jesus through us. And that was what Paul was trying to help them realize. That our world will never see Jesus if we do not stand in our authentic place in presenting him to our world by our good doings. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, Paul the apostle saying, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In essence, we have been fashioned in Christ to be doers of good works. And he said, which God has prepared in advance for us to do, even from the foundations of the world. In essence, the purpose for which One of the purposes for which we have been redeemed, we have been bought by the blood of Jesus. One of the purposes why he has said he has sent us with the ministry of reconciliation is that people need to see him through us. And how best can they see him? It is when we learn to help people define what doing good is. It will be a shame for us if people who do not believe in Jesus are doing better in doing good than us. Sometimes people attack church or churches. You know why? Because they have much more seen the church doing wrong than doing good. And so their reference of who Christ is, their reference of who the agent of doing good, God's agent, God's ambassador is that no. So why don't you believe in Jesus? I won't believe in Jesus because Christians are all there. So it's all out there. You know why? Because we refuse to represent him well. Some years ago, I was doing something and I stumbled on one of the sayings of Mahatma Gandhi. Maybe not exactly as he said it, but see, this is what I got. He was being asked, because he had said he had read a lot about Christ. And they said, why is it that you are not a Christian? He said, I would have followed Jesus if not for Christians. Very powerful man. But his testimony of those who represented Christ was cruelty, deception, manipulation, and a whole lot of amen, you know. And so his revelation of Jesus was tainted by the people who ought to be his followers. So Paul was saying, There is a lot about Jesus in the scripture, but the Jesus that our community will see is the Jesus you show them, the Jesus I show them. And if we cannot be a revelation of the goodness of God to them, then we are a revelation of the disappointment that they will have in Jesus. And that means we become a roadblock to people who should have embraced the good news of Jesus, people who would have become useful instruments and vessels to God's glory, just because those who should be vessels of his goodness and channels of his blessings have not. One of the baptism hymns that so many years ago I did learn, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the loss of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Is your life a channel of blessing today? Is your life a channel of blessings? I pray my life possessing, my service blessing. Amen. Now I'm on my own. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it said, whatsoever we do in words or in deeds, we should do all as unto Christ, knowing that from him we will receive our rewards. So we need to ask ourselves every time, what I'm doing, the position I'm taking, the decision I'm doing, and whatever I'm acting, does it reflect God's goodness to people? Or does it send them away from who Jesus is? It will help us to place premium on how we act or how we react or how we are proactive. You know why? Your life and my life, the moment we receive Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, is not about us. It's supposed to be lived for his glory alone. So I want you to look at it. And this is part of what we need to reflect on. Don't answer me. Don't say it to your neighbor. Just answer within here. Amen. How good have I been from January till now? Not because that goodness is going to save me, but have I represented Jesus well in making his goodness known to people around me? And that's a personal reflection. How much have I inspired others, other fellow Christians, so that they can learn to be good to people? Or have I become a source of discouragement to those who have been good to people as to how not to be good again? You know, sometimes you encourage people in doing good, and sometimes, unfortunately, we discourage people from doing good. Amen. I'm sure some of us are here. You probably have received some discouragement from people why you should not be good. Amen. And sometimes some of those people seem to be more Christianly than you. And sometimes they speak Christianese. You understand Christianese? How's everything? Oh, bless you. It's wonderful. Jesus is Lord. Hey, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. But they discourage you from doing what is good, or encourage you to do what is wrong. So, when the Bible says doing good, what does it mean? Okay, so we'll look at different aspects of doing good, just as a way to remind ourselves. Number one, one aspect of doing good that we need to reflect upon as Christians is what we call altruism. Altruism is acting selflessly with concern for the welfare of others. Being altruistic. Acting selflessly with concern for others. Number two, and that one we know very well, charity. Amen. That is the loudest of it all. Charity. Charity is given to those in need, whether through donations, volunteering, or other forms of support. Is there anybody who doesn't know about charity? If you are here, do wave your hands. Thank God nobody's here that doesn't know that. Thank you. I would have asked myself, where am I? Thirdly, ethical behaviors. This is the one that where we become subjective and we say it's relative. One of the ways to show the goodness of God is adhering to moral principles and acting with integrity. There is no how you and I can say we are doing good and yet we are ethically bankrupt. We support immoral activities and principles. We act without integrity. One of the strongest things that I've spoken against the gospel of Jesus Christ is corruption. And most of the time, whether it's in politics or in business or in career, when there is no integrity coming from someone who professes Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, it kills the testimony of Jesus in such arena. Is that not so? So if somebody has been professing Christ, and they romance with corruption, when they talk of Jesus, you suspect them. You are going to ask yourself, please, which Jesus are they talking? Which of the Jesus? We need to know which Jesus. Why? Because their integrity is in doubt. So another thing when we talk about doing good is social responsibility, and we take that very seriously. Both what we can describe, what I always call personal social responsibility, and there is corporate social responsibility. Which means as people who belong to a community of faith, contributing to the betterment of the society, whether through environmental stewardship, community involvement, advocacy for social justice, or the ministry of our presence. We cannot say we are doing good and we are not doing things that are environmentally friendly. We are not supporting things that will help to preserve the ecosystem. If we are behaving and are supporting ideologies, principles, and activities that are destroying the environment, then we are not stewards or good stewards of the earth that God has given to us. Another act of doing good, and this one I know church people will love this, kindness and compassion. Scorecard, we can give church people thumbs up. Amen. We try. Is that not so? Or do you disagree? Do you disagree with me? If you disagree with me, then that means we have some serious things to handle then. But I believe that the kindness and compassion is showing empathy and care for others, offering support and understanding. That means they may not believe what I believe. They may not subscribe for what I subscribe to. Well, I'll show them kindness anyway, because that's who I am in Jesus. We have to show kindness and compassion. The last thing I'd like to talk about is the subject of, two things. Positive impact. Actions that have beneficial effect on individuals, communities, and the environment. So when we are considering doing good, we must ask ourselves, would my action impact positively? Would my decision, would the steps I take, would it impact positively on the community? Lastly, doing good is living by example. Good example. Good example. So this is what I need us to do in that arena. Again, you would answer that by yourself because it's personal and it's reflective. Can you look at all your actions, decisions, indecisions from January till now? Can you consider them as good examples? Amen. I'm talking of not just the public ones. I'm talking of the private ones. Amen. The ones where other people who are in church like you are not there. You happen to only be the church person, but then you just pretend out not to be churchy. Can I say I'm a good example to people around me of God's goodness so that they can be Christians like me? Or can, when I look at myself, would I say to people, just listen to what I say, don't do as I do? If that's the kind of Christianity you have, listen to what the Bible says, listen to, you know, but don't look at me because I'm not the standard, I'm not the lifestyle. So how do you want them to change? If you don't live what you profess, if I don't live what I profess, I will be doing the gospel of Christ a disfavor if I am not an embodiment of what it says. So he says, do not get weary in doing good. And what does it say? If we do not get tired, if we do not faint, if we do not stop at the proper time, there is a proper time, it says we shall reap the harvest. So doing good, representing God well, comes with a reward. That's a good incentive, is that not so? God is saying, if I do good, there is an harvest. There is harvest for me. There's a good reward for me. There are his blessings and benefits for my life. So that should incentivize me to want to do good. Is that not so? Say, buy one, get one. So even if you don't like to buy before, amen, amen. How many of you have bought things you didn't want to buy, but because you saw the incentive seemed to be good? Amen, amen. You can wave. Don't worry. You're safe. You never plan to buy it. But the moment they told you incentive, I think I should get it. But when you finish getting it, for those ones, you probably finish getting some and say, you know, I didn't need it anyway. The incentive was so yummy that I just fell for it. But in God's case, God does not incentivize us to deceive us. He says what he means, and he means what he says. So he says, don't get tired of doing good. So I'm encouraging somebody this morning. Maybe you are beginning to get tired. Maybe you have been good to people, and all you get in return is betrayal, wicked responses, entitlement mentality from people you have been a blessing to, conspiracy from people you have been kind to, bad treatment or people look down on you even when you have been a blessing to their lives, and you feel bad. You know, one of the things while I was growing up in Africa, sometimes there was this little subtle mentality. You look at people who are Christians or who have been good people and they just die. And sometimes the first thing you remember are all the bad people, which if you had the ministry to send people to death, you would have, you know, volunteered them for death. But good people are dying. And so you say, oh God, what's happening here? Why are you keeping all these bad people? And these good ones are dying. Can I recommend kill all these bad people fast? But somehow, his mercy keeps them. God says, if we don't get tired of doing good, we will reap the reward. And I always say to people, every good that you do is able to do for you from God what your money, your personality, your influence, and even your faith cannot achieve. Because God rewards those who represent him well when they do good. He said, so if you do not faint, you will reap. And then he now said, now look at it. This is where we end this morning. He said, therefore. When you use the word therefore. Now, before I use the word therefore, he said, if you do not faint. So that's a conditional blessing there. A condition. It said, if you continue to sow or do good, you will reap if you do not faint or get tired of doing it. But that means if you get tired of doing it, you may miss your harvest. We don't want to do that. In essence, I don't want to do good and get to a point I say, I think I'm going to become a bad person now. I just need to become bad. No, there's no option like that. You only get the reward if you continue. So continuation is non-negotiable. But then he adds this, he said, therefore, do good to all men. What does therefore mean? It means having an understanding of all that I've said, having a right perspective to the subject of doing good, should propel you and I to do good to everyone. Not do good to some men, do good to few. When you say men, and that women included, youths and children. Amen. So don't think that it's not the masculine men. That's just human beings. Amen. So it's talking about humanity. People, do good to all people. Let me make it easier. And then he added a clause, especially to those of the community of faith. So if we have an understanding that God rewards the good that we do, that we represent him, it should motivate us to do good to everyone that comes our way. And that's what I want us to go with. It doesn't matter whether the person is white, the person is black, whether the person is religious or irreligious, whether the person belongs to our denomination, he doesn't belong to our tradition, whether the person is a Christian or any other faith, do good to all people. And that's what God is saying to us. But then he said, have a soft spot for those who are Christians like you. Amen. What a way to say that. What he's simply saying is that if you have not been good to fellow Christians, please tell me, how can you be good to outsiders? Can you imagine how ugly sometimes Christians fight each other? Amen. Because we don't believe the same thing. I can think the worst should happen to you, to us, to prove that my Christianity is better than your own. If we cannot be kind to one another, Jesus said, how by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you show love to one another. So it means that every time we are not kind, every time we are not doing good towards those of the same household of faith, we are telling people, don't mind us, we are not disciples of Jesus. And our Jesus is not the authentic Jesus. As we go today, I want to challenge us. Doing good is not an option. It is our Christian lifestyle. And we must live by it every day. And God incentivizes us and tells us there are blessings and rewards for it. And one other thing I will add to that is this. God will never give an instruction that he has not given us grace for. So it's in your DNA, it's in my DNA. As long as we've given our lives to Christ, we can do good. And his grace is sufficient. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father, we are grateful for a time like this. Thank you for this time to encourage, inspire, provoke each other into doing your good works. Lord, I ask, O God, that everyone under the sound of my voice, those who are here and those who will yet listen, help us to come to a proper understanding. We refuse to get tired of doing good, no matter the negatives that we have ever experienced or that may come our way. We will be living examples of your goodness to humanity. Everywhere we find ourselves, we will be the right person, showing the right spirit, helping people to experience your compassion, your kindness, your charity, your faithfulness. We will be living scriptures, evidence of your good news, that your goodness is still real. We are your ambassadors, O God. We will represent you well, and people will see our lives align with our actions, be blessed with the doing of good that comes from us. And Lord, may we become living testimonies of the lives that you have shown your goodness and in turn is positioned to bless others. May we live, O God, as your message to our world through our acts of kindness, of goodness. Thank you, because we will not disappoint you, because we know your grace is sufficient for us. And that there, those of us who have been discouraged, betrayed, conspired against, and their good works have been responded to by acts of wickedness, betrayal, conspiracy, and negatives. And so they have become tired and weary. Lord, I ask that you renew their strength. And let it be that each and every one of us will not live below your expectation of us. Thank you, Father. We step into the blessings. We step into our harvests. We reap, O God, in our due season, your reward for everyone who does good in line with your command. In Jesus' name, amen.